You guys remember what the last three Sundays of Advent were? The characteristics of Christ?
Hope, peace,
and joy. Hope, peace, and joy. That's good.
I don't remember the order.
So the first Sunday is usually the Sunday of hope. The second Sunday is peace. The third Sunday is joy. And the fourth Sunday, which we've kind of skipped over, but we're coming back to today, is love. And so these are all the attributes of Christ that we're recognizing during the time of Advent. And today I want to focus on the characteristic of love. And so if you guys would turn to the book of John, Gospel of John, and this is my favorite verse of all time, and it's John 3:16. John 3:16. And anybody want to read that verse?
I will.
Okay.
Just 3:16?
Yep.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Thank you, Sandra. Now, one of the things that I love about this verse is it's very clear that God's love is equally distributed. A lot of people feel like, well, God can't love me because I've done this or I've done that or I've rebelled against or I'm too sinful or God can never use somebody like me. And it's very clear just in this one verse. It says, for God so loved the world. It doesn't say, so God so loved Christians. Or it doesn't say, God so loved those that obeyed all the commandments. Right? It doesn't say that God loved those that did favors for him. It says God so loved the world. That's all inclusive. Right. That is all inclusive. And yet some think that, well, I'm not included in that. God can't love me. It's very clear that God loves the creation. He loved the world. Human beings were created in his image for his good purpose, and he loved them. And he hasn't stopped loving them, but it's a hard thing for people to grasp. Now, I've counseled many people in my past, and this is something that many of them have gotten hung up on, is that, well, God might love you because you're a good Christian, or God might love you because you're a pastor, or this or that, and it's like, no, God loves you just as much.
But I wasn't always a good Christian, and I wasn't always a Christian, and there's all kinds.
No, you're absolutely right, though. You're so dead on about that. The next part of this verse that is very cool, I think, is that God's love is a gift. It's a gift. In the very first verse, he says, he gave his one and only Son. He gave. It's a gift. He gave it to you freely. Once again, he offers his Son as an ultimate sacrifice of love so that we can be reconciled to God. And again, it doesn't say that we earned his Son as a gift or we deserve his Son as a gift.
It was given to you.
That's right. It was given to us. Why did he give it to us? The very first part of that.
Not be condemned.
Because God so loved the world. And so it's very clear that God so loved the world, every person in this world that he created, and he loved them so much that he gave a gift, and that gift is his Son. His love is not dependent on our loyalty, by the way. That's kind of our human nature, that we use love as a tool, as a weapon at times to get what we want, right? I'll only love you if you do this, or if you love me, will you do that for me? Or there's always a condition on our love. And God is unconditional, in a sense. He loves us regardless. It's not something you earn. His love is not dependent on us. It is completely independent of us. A lot of times, again, this is a trap we get into, that we feel like we have to earn God's love somehow. Now, at Christmas, you all probably got a gift, at least one gift, I would imagine. And That gift wasn't, it's not something you earn. It's something somebody wants to give you out of love for you. They care about you. They want to give you something nice. Well, imagine your heavenly Father, who is completely good, that he wants to give you his son as a free gift out of love. The next thing that we need to understand is that God is always loved. That's his character and nature. He has always loved. And so it's not like God can stop loving me. He can't. That's who he is. He is love. In 1 John 4:8, it says, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." God is the definition of the purest form of love there is. That's who he is. That's all he can do. He doesn't hate. There's no hate in him. He loves. He loves his creation. This is something that's really important, especially if you've dealt with any type of rejection in your life, or you know, maybe you grew up with parents that didn't show love in certain ways. Maybe you were in relationships where you didn't feel loved. And we tend to think that God is the same way with us, that I can't be loved, I'm not worthy of love. And what's interesting is that God has never stopped loving any of us. Never stopped. And what's so cool is, regardless, he loves you to the fullest all the time. All the time. Now, we may feel like we don't deserve it, and a lot of us probably don't. I don't deserve it. We may feel like God shouldn't love me, but the truth is that he does, and he loves you to the fullest. He can't love you any more than he already does. We don't have to love God back. We don't have to deserve his love. We don't have to earn his love. It is a gift. It is completely a gift. Now, I love this. If you guys want to turn to Romans 8 for a minute, and look at verses 38 through 39. Anybody want to read those two when you get there?
I can.
Okay.
"For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord."
Thank you so much. That's pretty serious there. I mean, there is nothing in this universe, whether human or inhuman, even the celestial beings, the demons that are out to stop God's good work, can separate you from the love in Christ. I love that because, you know, I as an early Christian, when I first came to Christ, I had a lot of questions and I suffered through a lot of misunderstandings of who God was. And there are many times where I felt like, well, I just did something horrible. God cannot love me. And you go back and you look at this verse, you say, God loves you to the fullest all the time, regardless. Nothing can separate you from his love. Now, the next part of John 3:16 that is so cool is that God's love is redemptive. He loves you so much that no matter what you've done, he's provided a way to redeem you. How? He says, none should perish. That is God's will, that none should perish. So he offers the gift of his son because he loves each of us to the fullest. He loves us enough to look past our offenses. How many times can we do that? People offend us and, oh, don't want anything to do with you anymore. Can we love people even when they offend us? That's a hard thing to do, but God still loves us even though we've offended him.
And if you get a love of a person and then they offend you, you take yourself away from them for your own good. I think that's what, I mean, we do that to God. If we are doing offensive things, he still loves us, but we kind of take ourselves away from him.
That's right.
You know?
We do, absolutely.
He still loves us, just like we might still love.
Right.
I might still love Roy, but maybe you have to entertain
him. Right. Well, that's where repentance comes in, right? God is very clear. We offend him, we come to him, confess our sins, we repent, and he receives us, right? And so anytime we're the offender, that's the first thing we should think about is, okay, I need to confess, I need to repent, I need to make amends. His love is enough that he brings us into eternity with him. He makes a home with us and he calls us children of God. That's redemptive love. His love is to rescue us from the things that we've done against him. Now, the thing that is part of maturing as a Christian is now that we've received that love, the redemption of God's love, that we've received the gift of God's love, and that he's loved us to the fullest, he wants us to grow to a place where we are extending the same love to others. Whether they offended you, whether they love you back, whether they deserve your love, we are called to love. And that is a hard thing for anybody to do, even Christians. We are called to share the same love that God has given us. Now, obviously, we can't be God. We're not God. We're imperfect. We make mistakes. But we are called to step up and to love others, even in the midst of their issues and their sin, whatever it is. Now, I want to be clear, as Sandra pointed out, that love sometimes doesn't mean you give in or you enable or you do things that are not healthy. You can love somebody from a distance if they're causing trouble in your life.
You have to retain your morals and your values, and sometimes that means
that's right.
Not associating with that person.
You can still love them and not be pulled into the things they're doing, right? You know, the love, the redeeming love that God gives us is he's given us a compassion for others to go out and spread the word, the good news. That's redemptive love working through his creation. He wants all of us to pursue redemption by offering the gift of Christ to others. Now in 1 Peter 4, chapter 4, verse 8, Peter wrote, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sin." That is so true. I mean, love is the answer. Love is who God is. And if we want to reflect the character and nature of God and grow in Christ's image and his Christ-likeness, it all boils down to love. It boils down to making a decision every day that I'm going to love others regardless.
Well, because he loves you enough. Change the way you think, and he's hoping that you can spread the gospel by loving somebody enough to change the way they act.
You're right, Roy, that God, when we become Christians, we are born again. We are given the counselor, the Holy Spirit, who gives us utterance, who works in us, who begins to transform our lives. And it's a constant surrendering to him. It's constant surrendering. The Holy Spirit doesn't force himself on anybody. But when you learn to surrender and line up with God's will, a transformation takes place in your life. You begin to change. You begin to have different desires. You begin to have the compassion that God has for others. And so that's exactly what God has called us to grow into as mature Christians, is to love others. Now, the other part of this verse that is really cool, I think, is that God's love was fully manifested in Christ. It's like God's love came out in a physical form as the Son, Jesus Christ. It says he gave his one and only Son.
More than anything, how much he really loved it.
Right?
He gave up his one precious thing.
That's absolutely right. Now, I love the story of how Jacob,
Abraham
took Isaac as a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And It was God showing how painful that really is to have to make a sacrifice like that. And obviously God stopped Abraham before he committed that act.
Well, but the thing is that Abraham was willing because he was bending to God's will. And it proved a lot because he knew that if he submitted to God's will, that God would make it right.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And it just goes to show that this truly was a sacrifice. It was love incarnate. It was love coming down in a physical form in Jesus Christ. That's how much God loves us. I mean, it blows my mind to think about that. You know, could I sacrifice one of my children to prove to somebody that I love them? No, that'd be very difficult. But here, God gives his one and only son because he loves us that much. I mean, God has gone to great lengths to prove how much he loves us. And yet sometimes we doubt that. Sometimes, like, well, God can't love me. And I always say, well, look at the cross.
Still to this day, he creates miracles that people don't see. I mean, how can you... It's a lot better to look at life walking around thinking a miracle could happen right now, or a miracle is happening right now somewhere.
Right.
You know, you may not see it, but it's happening.
Right.
You know,
we've seen a few.
Yeah.
In our little circle.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we've seen plenty of miracles around here.
But that's the thing is, if you walk around in life expecting God to create a miracle and expecting it to happen, it happens all the time.
Right.
But if you walk around as if nothing happens and nothing's a miracle, your life looks totally different.
It all depends on your worldview, right? What is your faith system? And right. Do you recognize God when God shows
right.
up?
Right.
You know, Jesus Christ came as a perfect physical manifestation of God's love poured out to the human race. It's a heavenly gift. It's a heavenly gift. And so I know you guys all know this, how much God loves you. What's important here is there are many people who don't. There are many people, and I've counseled Christians that doubt God's love for them. And it's sad to me because Jesus Christ is a perfect physical manifestation of God's love poured out for each of us.
What is the main reason they, because bad things?
Usually because they've done something that they think is so outrageous that God cannot forgive them for it. And they punish themselves, and that's satanic. That's,
and usually it's them not being able to forgive themselves.
Right, exactly.
So that's the hardest thing. It's easy to forgive somebody else,
yep.
But it's hard to forgive yourself.
It is, but, and this is what I share with them, that God forgave you. It's very clear in his word that he forgave you. If you can't forgive yourself, you're saying God is wrong. Think about it. You're saying God is wrong because he forgave you and you can't forgive yourself.
Right. And you're torturing yourself because you can't get past the fact that it's done.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, there is nothing. Good grief. Look at Paul. Look at David. Look at some of the things.
Oh, David was bad.
Right. I mean, David had some serious sin going on. And God forgave him.
And he was actually highly favored.
He was.
He was one of his, and he made him a king.
He was. And it, yeah, God hates sin, guys. He does. But he loves us enough to look past our offenses. We just need to get past ourselves and learn to ask God for forgiveness and move on. In 1 John, again, chapter 4, 9 and 10, I'll read this to you. It says, "This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us enough and sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins."
We were talking earlier about how David had sinned and still became a king because God made him a king. And then you think about the fact that he sent his son here to redeem all of you. And at that point, he made everybody royal.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Thank goodness. Now here's, again, this is what we need to grasp. God loves us that much. He demonstrated it by sending his son. And once he's done that, once we've accepted that and received Christ our Lord and Savior, we are called to a higher standard. We are called to show the same love that we've received. Now, if we continue in 1 Peter 4, 11 through 12 for a second, Peter goes on to say, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." Just as Christ was the physical manifestation of God's love, when we allow God to guide our lives, we too become a manifestation of God's love. Now, another area where people can't see God's love is because when Christians don't show the same kind of love to others, they're bigots, they show hatred, they criticize. They're not trying to build up others.
A lot of them get accused of beating people over the Bible and then not living it.
Right. I mean, the church was called to be an extension of God's love to the outcast, to those outside of the church. And we're the first ambassador that some people see of God. And if they don't see God's love in you, how are they ever going to see God at all? That's why it's so important that we have to submit to God's will, not our own will, but to God's will, and love people even when it's difficult. Even when it's difficult. God loves each person the same, to the fullest. And we should be no different. We should recognize that and submit to God's will. God's love is the fulfillment of the law. If we love one another, we don't need the Ten Commandments. Pretty clear. If we just love God and love others, commandments are out the window. We don't need them. But we are such a fallen race that it is so difficult for us to love people, even when they may not deserve it, or even when we don't agree with them. We still have to show the compassionate love that God has for each of us.
You know what's so funny is, I sit in the shop a lot, and I'm always inside a car, scanning a car to make sure it's working properly before it goes home, right? And every time I do, I turn the car on. You have to turn the car on to make sure that stuff shuts on and off in order for it to go home. But every time I turn the car on, the first thing that comes on is the radio.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you hear more and more Christian music on the radio as they're coming through the shop, and it makes me feel so good.
Yeah.
When you're sitting in a car and you're thinking, I wonder what this person's like, and the first thing that comes on is radio,
right,
and you're hearing a message, or you're hearing, you know, people are getting a word, whether they're getting it in church or whether they're getting it in the car, you're hearing,
right,
you know, and
it's
good to know.
I thought you were going to tell us you changed the recitation automatically to a Christian.
No, it just... But, you know, the more and more that I pay attention now, the more and more I'm hearing it,
right,
as it's coming through the shop. And it's really neat to see.
It is. It's good. I mean, that's God just showing you, hey, I'm at work. You're not alone in this world. I'm at work. And it is
like
cool.
Four or five major Christian stations in Dallas now.
Yeah.
That sounds like all of us listen to. It's like, that's not the right music. Right. It's on a different station.
Well, that's good. That's
good. We had Christmas and then came over and he goes, okay, we need to go back to our other station.
He had to stop for all the Christmas music. I'm a little old.
He doesn't like other music in the car.
Right.
Oh, that's
a good thing.
It is a good thing.
Usually kids nowadays like junk.
Right.
So, you know, Advent, to me, Christmas is all about God's love poured out through his son, Jesus Christ. And, you know, we talk about it, but you know, when it comes down to it, it is a challenge. It is a challenge for the human race to love others unconditionally. Now, I've had people rub me wrong, and I get mad. And tell you what, I start to get convicted real quick when that happens. And God shows up and say, "Hey,
you were once that way."
Yep. And so that is what we're called to. We're called to love others regardless of their status, regardless of what their worldview is, regardless of all these things, and to show them the love of God. You may be the only time somebody gets to see the love of God.
Well, it almost pisses me out when you let one get away, because I'm still upset about the one that got away from me. Is that lady at the convenience store? I stopped and got a drink, and I bought her a cup of coffee, and I gave her a blessing, and she says, "Why would you say that to me?" But I had to run back to the shop. I was in an emergency, and I didn't have time. I had my Bible in the car, but I didn't have time to sit there with her and explain to her, and it got away from me.
You don't know if she got away.
Yeah, I was going to say, she didn't get away, Roy.
Should I be one of those listening to the Christian station and I have a car there one day?
Yeah. I mean, we got to remember that, yes, a missed opportunity is a missed opportunity, but God, if God's working on somebody's heart, there's always going to be somebody else he can bring into the mix.
I believe someday in heaven you're going to meet all kinds of people that you planted a seed that came to Christ.
Amen.
That's awesome.
And that's how it works. A lot of times we don't see the result.
Right.
You know?
Well, and I don't expect to. I just think it's neat to leave a blessing with somebody and see what their life turns into. I just think it's neat to see their face.
Absolutely. A lot of people need that these days. A lot of people. All right. Well, let me go ahead and close this in prayer.